This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go.
All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our coverage. I almost said of Amazon Prime's Wheel of Time, but not, but of, if I guess, only. A bunch of websites. I guess Crunchyroll, if you're official, Jujutsu Kaisen. So this is going to be episodes 11 and 12, technically what they call 35 and 36. So it's Seance and Dull Knife. And I think that we've kind of settled into this two episodes per pod episode type of deal. I think it's easiest on us. We have like a vacation coming up, so like we're not going to be able to do the next one. So I think we're just going to settle into this 2x2 formula, which I personally like because we get to talk about things like continuation of things, and then we still get the cliffhangers and so on and so forth. So I think without further ado, we have two fights that we want to talk about first. They took up basically all of episode 11, which is going to be we have Itadori and Megumi. And they fight the old head, whose name I did not catch, and I am an idiot and didn't look up.
I did not get it either.
Ino versus the granny and the grandson, which turns into the OG legend in the game. So I think let's talk about the Ino and granny OG fight first.
I'm glad that we're doing these in two episode buckets because one, it gives me, I feel like it gives me just enough JJK. Like, I don't know if I could have handled covering. Yeah. Any more than this, because these two episodes were incredible. I mean, maybe besides, I think we were texting about it in our group chat, just maybe besides the Gojo episode, I think these are without a doubt like the two best JJK episodes like to date, like of both seasons combined. And the first fight that we're talking about with my boy Toji coming back, that was such a treat. Like, I kind of figured he was going to come back. Like, you just don't introduce someone like that to just have him not come back. I thought it was interesting how they brought him back using the seance, which was, I think, the name of the episode as well. So that was like a new power, if you want to call it, that we got introduced to. So I just got immediately so hyped when his face like started transforming. I knew exactly where it was going. He just lays a wallop down on our fucking boy. Like, when he takes the mask and is just set like shadow stepping everywhere, it was just the most baddest thing ever. I have so many chills right now just thinking about it.
Toji is a boss. I guess we're going to talk about how whatever got revealed in the 36 too, right? Like, that he is so strong and his body's so special that it like broke the freaking seance.
Like, it was just his body versus a soul, which never in a million years would ever lose, I guess, because like souls, it makes sense. Like, souls being like the main purpose of the body itself, you know. And so if you're just a body and you don't have a soul, like what would even defend against it? But his body just instinctively just is ready to combat.
He's one in a million. Like, out of, besides Gojo, I think he's the only one we've seen that can completely just manhandle anybody and everybody that he comes across. He's so just entertaining. And I remember telling you, Dave, like, yo, you know, he's dead, but keep an eye out for his name, because his like legend lingers, you know what I mean? He leaves lasting effects on his surroundings, and I mean, shit, he's in the heart of this arc. And now it makes the flashback in the beginning of the season all that much better too.
It's interesting you say that too, because I got the impression that Ino didn't know who he was.
Well, Ino's the guy with the bag on his head, right?
Correct, yeah.
I think when he said that,
what did he say exactly?
Well, number one, he'd been dead for a long time.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, it was interesting that you had said like that his legend and everything. It's just interesting to think also that, you know, it seemed to me that he didn't know who he was at all.
He had
a second to think about it, and then he fucking gets his face bumbled in and thrown off a building.
I got caught off guard by that as well. But when he first witnessed him, it was like half his face.
Also true.
Maybe he didn't recognize him, but that could be a reach.
That was probably what made him cause the reaction. Is like, what the fuck's going on here?
I thought Eno's power was pretty cool. That's like,
yeah, he got the short end of the stick because he was like looking super cool, and he's like, oh my god, he has these cool powers, and then Toji shows up and it's like, okay.
You know what?
I don't care about this guy anymore.
He reminded me of, you know, from Shrek, Thelonious. Oh, yeah. He looks like him. But Toji is so exciting and Eno's no match for him. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just every time Toji's on screen going forward, like, I'm glad that we got someone to replace Gojo for me, because obviously I love Gojo and I love Toji. So once we lose Gojo, we get another badass character that I'm totally fine with. What is Eno's powers been like elaborated? Like, he just summons a homing drill kind of thing.
So the name of it is Auspicious Beast Summon.
Right.
So what he can do is, they say that he can summon spirit mediums, or maybe he is a spirit medium, but he can summon kind of spirits of what they call the four apocalyptic beasts. So the first one he says is Kaichi, which is that honing drill one. The second one is Reiki, which seems like water that he can like skate on. It also kind of like protects him, mm-hmm. like orbs that are around him. I don't remember him using a third one because
I had number three
as an open thing and it didn't happen, and then he goes to use four and then gets fucked up basically.
It was
his
so
power is cool.
Yeah, I mean, his power was great because I mean, when it's like going around and it's homing on the main villain here who gets his arm like blown off a little bit, which was really cool. He was pretty strong too in himself. He just seemed like the defensive player while the granny was doing her thing. And when he catches the drill though, it was so cool.
Well, you're like, you know, you're showing off. We're getting this, you know, they even give us a, you know, flashback. We get in with Nanami and, you know, he's grilling the meats and he's explaining to him, like, I want to do it the right way. And Nanami's like, you know, you have semi first grade potential and we're getting his power. And it's like, oh my God, all right, new character. And then Toji shows up and just completely steals the moment. And it's like, ah.
Beauty of JJK. So it's cool because also I like this fight. It's like the medium, the old hag, as Toji calls her, and Eno, which, you know, their powers kind of mirror each other a little bit. Just the summoning, I guess, the four mystical beings that he's capable of summoning must be like some kind of mythological creatures.
Yeah,
that he
Japanese folklore.
It's folklore, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the idea of Reiki is very familiar to me as like a lifelong anime watcher, manga reader, but I don't know if I've ever heard it presented in this way. But I'm sure, obviously, there's some reasoning behind it. So
I just love when he's about to use number four and it's just Toji just takes the mask right off and fucks him up. Do we want to cover what happens really quickly in the next episode too with him fucking up Granny? Because I just want to say that. That was fucking badass too.
So great.
Because it was kind of, I think me and Alki were talking about it after the first episode came out, of whether how much of the memories were going to be there. I think I was under the impression that maybe there would be like some crossover, like he would know of Toji's backstory, but, you know, be his personality. I think Alki had some level of variance to that, but at the end of the day I didn't know what it was going to be, and this kind of answered my question in that it was all the bad guys. It was his brain, but it was Toji's body. But Toji's body, again, like we kind of just summed up, was just so strong that he was able to just get his soul back into his body is what I'm taking.
I didn't want to reveal it to you, but they tried. All they wanted to accomplish was to tap into his physical prowess. But then it backfired.
Yeah, Granny thought she was hot shit.
And then he just had no remorse because the mission that she sent him on was to go kill all the sorcerers. And he just looks at her. He's like, you're a sorcerer too, right? And just death.
So great. So
the flash step, I thought that you wanted to talk about that. His like flash step when he like was just like, you're a sorcerer, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he just like basically instant transmissions next to her and fucks her up. It was great.
I'm so excited to see Megumi's reaction to seeing Toji.
I don't I feel like he's probably going to have a similar reaction to like Ino. I don't know. Right. I never met his dad.
Yeah. I feel like though when like Gojo goes to Megumi when he's a kid, it's Megumi's old enough to be aware of like, you know, his surroundings. So I'm thinking maybe he does still remember his dad, but either way, it should be interesting. I think that's where basically at the end of all this discussion, that's where it seems to be headed, is that Megumi is going to be flying up to the top of that building and he's going to have a showdown with Toji.
Yeah. So honestly, we can get right into what's going on with Itadori and Megumi at this point. So we're at the top of the tower. We split up. We bring Jiro, who is this older guy who looks like someone else so much, and I just cannot put
he looks like the guy in the flashback that Geto squared off with.
It's like he looks like a character to me from like another cartoon. I just can't put my finger on it, and I'll probably think of it after the podcast and then we'll never talk about it again. But I think before we get into this fight, they have an interesting flashback with Granny and Jiro. And just, again, even when Gojo's not physically in the show, he is impacting the story and the plot so much. We're like, we basically get the flashback that the two of them used to, like, you know, be curse users, hired assassins, et cetera, et cetera. And once Gojo was born, like, the whole world changed, the balance. So that's kind of explaining why they're against us while they're just kind of humans and curse users. And
it
just
explained why the curses kind of got stronger and shit too.
Yeah, that was a cool thing too, with the balance of power. Gojo's just the guy. It's just little Gojo walking down the street, hands in his pockets, not a care in the world.
Was that at this episode too? Oh my god, it feels like so long since I watched
both of them together. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, what do you say? He was like, get out of here, weakling, or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, stop looking at me.
And great fun fact is the voice actor was the same voice actor as Killua. The one who voiced young,
no, that's great.
The one that voiced young Gojo, like Killua, yeah, is
walking down
is
the street,
young Killua's voice actor.
It's actually hilarious,
dude. That backstory was great because you're right. Like, it's just his impact around him. He doesn't even need to do anything for people to just be like, shit. Like, we have to be good human beings because there's a slight chance that this guy. It's like the Batman TikTok where it's like you're in Gotham and it's like you know, you pull a fire alarm or something and it's just Batman there that just beats you fucking down. Just like average life.
Yeah, that's what it would be. Like, they literally tried to kill him and they just shake in their boots and
I want more
him, basically. Yeah.
What is remember in Magicians, like the magicians that were not with the school, what were they called?
See, we've been over this before.
I like whenever I see curse users because it reminds me of that. Because they're not affiliated with like the Jutsu Academy or whatever the hell it's called.
But these people were like,
they're evil.
These are evil people. They legitimately want to just go out of their way to be evil.
I like the lore. Like, it makes me wonder, like, how do they learn how to do the cursed energy manipulation? Like what was their?
They didn't go to school.
Yeah, they didn't go to school. So like, how do they get so strong? How is this guy like facing off against Megumi and Yuji? Like, Yuji has got endless whatever stamina power, like, it's just so sweet.
That guy's power was actually, I feel like, really OP. I feel like if he could just turn it off and on, that would make things even way more difficult.
Well, then he would be actually OP.
Yeah, because then you would have to take guesses on whether you want to use full strength, half strength, but it seemed like for him it was always reverse, so no matter what. Yeah,
what were you thinking? Because I mean, the start of this fight, he falls. He's not hurt. He's just laying there. They're kind of kicking his ass, but he's not getting damaged.
I couldn't piece it out. I just genuinely thought he was just high, just really strong D.
Yeah, just like strong D. Yeah.
I thought
that makes sense.
I will be honest, my memory was a little foggy watching this episode. When Megumi like kind of countered and hit him with like the hilt of his blade, I thought maybe he had like a count, like you can only hit him with like counters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is
kind of
just like kind of close.
His counters are usually going to be a little bit weaker, but they catch you off guard.
Or like maybe something, anything he doesn't lay his eyes on. I don't know, something.
I couldn't piece anything together with
he's cool.
Megumi figures it out in a great way too. Because, I mean, like you're saying, with that kind of hailed strike, and then he tests the hypothesis with the rabbits, which right. is
the
just,
rabbits were so cool, too.
They were cute. I love that they kept in the Yuji holding one.
Yes, of course Yuji had to be holding just one of them.
And that's, like, one of people's, like, favorite little manga panels is, like, when he lets him go, and Yuji's, like, in the corner just holding one of the rabbits. It's just so funny that they, I mean, great that they kept it in there. I just, it got a laugh out of me, for sure.
I find it so interesting, like, the characters that are even like an ounce stronger than others, like they have no urgency at all. They're just like going into this like fucking war. Like, all right, like whatever, like we're just going to fuck shit up. And I guess they're cocky because they've had Gojo this whole time and whatnot. But man, like it's such an interesting story. It's the fight is so intense, but like they're cruising, you know,
they're just eager to scrap, honestly.
Yeah.
Which is great.
This has been a fantastic
season. Makes
for
great television. Yeah, I mean, and Megumi, so he drops that Max elephant on him, which in itself is cool as shit, and he catches it, which is wild. And then he's like, oh, it's just distraction for Yuji throwing a fucking car at you. I just thought that's the funniest, like that's such a great encapsulation of their tag team.
I liked how Megumi during their fight was like, I'm having more trouble keeping up with Yuji than I am with the villain.
Oh, that was a great show.
Like, that's sick. Like, Yuji has grown so fast. It only makes you wonder, you know, you, Dave, like, what his ceiling is, if there is one. And don't forget, there's Sukuna there, like, hidden behind the hedges. You
out
know?
Of the three, yeah, it's just like raw Yuji. I think out of the trio of our class, I would probably put Megumi still at number one, even though he did have that quote there. But then I would put Yuji.
A domain expansion.
Granted, I think Nobara, that's her name, right?
Nobara. I don't really know exactly how to pronounce it.
I think she's strong too, but these two are proving to be, you know, they're supposed to be the next Gojo Ghetto combo in my mind.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. I will say, out of all like the big mangas, I think Jujutsu Kaisen is comparable to your Naruto, your like Bleach, you know what I mean? Like just the impact generation. The characters have, the newer generation, exactly. You know, and if you want to put My Hero there, fine. Nobara.
Do you want to put My Hero?
I would have maybe like 4 years ago. Now it's like, fair. I don't even want to talk about it. But Nobara is like definitely one of the strongest and most capable female protagonists in recent history, in my opinion.
A few in here. I really like Maki. Maki's always been one of my favorites in this show too.
Yeah, like I just hate the the Lucy from Fairy Tale, or like you know the
what do they call that, like a tsunami.
Like no, Nami's not. I don't think Nami falls.
She
in that,
used
but
to
like,
be that. Yeah, trip, though. Like I'm thinking like pre times. Yeah, Nami. Like that, like kind of like afraid.
Right, still like has what's kind Naruto's of girl name? Sakura. Like,
same thing. Yeah.
Like, dude, like that thing is so tired. Like that harem. Trope is so tired.
I don't know what. But
harem is not that.
Oh, settle down, David. So just to wrap up, I guess this fight, just because I thought to go on the thread of Yuji growing too, is like Megumi's explaining it, and Yuji kind of has the final thing. Like, okay, we'll just hit him with a very strong attack and then a very weak attack at the same time. Which I thought was interesting because maybe you don't get that from Yuji often, or especially not earlier in the story where he's kind of picking up on this kind of, let's call it fight IQ type of thing. And the animation in the final shot is just like really good. I'm obsessed with the way they visualize the curse energy like around his fists because it looks sick and that color is amazing. And when it's Yuji and the guy like going knife against fist and just like, the way the action is shot and drawn is so good, and it stops and we get the four different like kind of camera angles of him getting hit like with the air. It's just like, I thought they fucking balled out on this shot. I thought it was so good. It was a great way
final
to end
shot
fight.
I was definitely on my feet, just I was ready to go.
Was so good. It was, and I love how they made the point too of like the hit couldn't be too weak, or like air resistance walking around would just like kill him. Type of thing. So like Megumi's just the man.
Yeah, he's so smart
back and just figures it all out. He's such a beast, and they all make fun of him. Well, they make fun of him in the moment when he's like, they're like, that was a dumb question, like asking about Gojo or whatever, like the bluff about Gojo. He's playing 4D chess out of your baby.
I love the final quote of the episode when he's like, "You're surprisingly adept to Yuji," and he's just like, "Really?"
He's growing. Okay, so just to move, I mean, just to kind of wrap them up, because they don't have a ton in episode 12, the two of them. So basically what we learn is that they get the little pin thing and they break the veil. Only the veil keeping sorcerers out is broken. They see Ino falling from the sky and fucking Yuji catches him, which is insane to think about, because I think that would legit flatten a normal human being.
Why did,
and then they kind of split up.
Why did Megumi not catch him with the bird? Was that not the plan? Like, didn't he summon the bird and he goes up and I'm thinking in my head, okay, he's going to catch him, dodges him for whatever reason and forces Yuji to catch him at the ground. I didn't understand that at all.
Yeah, to be honest, your guess, I think, is as good as mine in that sense.
Yeah. I just thought that was interesting. Maybe he sensed the presence of his father and he was distracted.
Interesting. Because, yeah, they do split up here and Yuji obviously runs into a fateful acquaintance, let's say. He runs into Choso. And yeah, Megumi now is alone. Megumi even says maybe it's not the best idea to split up right now, but also it's a good idea for Yuji to kind of continue on. So yeah, they give us where Yuji kind of where he's running into, but Megumi, we'll see what happens. Obviously, he is in the vicinity of his father. So
I think you've already connected those dots.
Yeah, most people, I think, can connect those dots.
I am so excited.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. So I think we're going to want to end with Nanami just because that's the next like great thing to talk about. So well, very quickly, we can do Mei Mei. She's technically the end of episode 12, but it's not like we give a fuck about that. So we left her with these two cursed spirits. I don't remember off the top of my head if they were special grades, but essentially she just kicks the shit out of them. We get like a nice monologue about her. We're getting this reinforcement about her, how she used to just train physical strength. She used to never use her technique. And that kind of puts her in an interesting place now that she realized that she had to use her technique to kind of ascend to that like special grade first, you know, grade sorcerer level. Just like interesting background about her. And then she runs into Geto, which sparks a very interesting conversation, internal monologue, and then obviously ending to the episode.
Unlike Gojo, who had a very shocked, surprised look on his face when he saw Geto, Mei Mei did not have that. Was a little bit more calm, cool, collected. But I get it, because Gojo obviously has a deeper relationship with Geto, so it was obvious, and was the one who dealt the quote unquote finishing blow to Geto. So of course it would make sense that he would be more surprised. But I really like how we get the her talking to Geto as well as thinking through like this isn't Geto, but it is, but it's also a fake wonder. And I just like that analytical side of her as well. Just so many badass moments in these two episodes. I literally just cannot contain how excited I was like in the moment watching these. Like, I think Alki came home like 5 minutes after I had watched this and maybe a couple other scenes. And I'm just telling him, I was so hyped, man. I was supposed to be watching football. Wasn't even watching it because I just really, it was.
It fires you up. The fights are just like A+, man. I have to say, though, Mei Mei is cool and analytical, smart, blah, blah, blah. But this shit with her brother fucking pisses me off.
That's just like, I guess, another trope of anime that we could just go. I personally definitely could go without. I think it's weird, too.
We don't have to talk about it. I just
written down of thoughts on Wee Wee. So
he's whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's supposed to be strong or not. He was in the domain with Mei Mei, but she's just so strong that she was easily able to break out of it.
I think it's cool how she like trained herself to be so strong. Her power is so limiting.
She summons crows.
She has those crows,
and that's kind of the extent of what we know at this point, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting. Obviously, she's very determined to be a grade one. Is like nothing to sniff at, you know. She was in the flashback, right? She got out of the maze, right?
Well, she was also the one that like had a chance to talk to Geto one-on-one.
No, that's somebody else.
No, yeah, she's the one that's
a different woman.
I confuse them all the time, Sumiki.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Honestly makes me take away a little bit less from this scene here because I honestly thought she was the one that was telling Geto in the past, you know, if you want to do you, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's Tsumiki.
And that, okay, that's so, okay, whatever. I guess.
Yeah, she was one who's always just kind of been introduced to us.
They're both white haired, like, money hungry. Right?
I think Tsumiki's blonde, technically, from my memory. She's the one that's Tsumiki, like, rides the motorcycle. That's Toji's, like,
yeah, he thought that was that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just, I guess, to try to create a different visual in your head.
She did have, like, banter with, they were classmates, like Gojo Geto and her were classmates. And if you remember from the flashback, they were like she was messing with them. Like, I don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And Geto was like, yeah, no shit or whatever. Yeah. Something like that. So they had banter, like, they have history.
My only issue with Mei Mei is her goddamn freaking hair. It's so crazy.
It's like funny, a unique character design, I guess you could say, but it's just, yeah, funny to think about how she actually sees anything.
Yeah, it annoys me to no end, but other than that, I think she is really badass.
Yeah, I like the smallpox deity too. That's a cool curse period.
Oh, that was
sense too. That's what we know off of, like, how they're created, to think smallpox as a very strong special grade curse spirit makes.
I love
sense.
How they just, if you explain your power, it just makes it stronger, because it just, it helps so
I love
much
that part.
It's just a great reminder always, because it's just something I listen for, and I'm just like, why do they do this? Oh yeah, it just makes it stronger,
because
yeah.
It's like also a curse, right? So it, like, amplifies the,
it's also fun
fear
when they're talking about, when they talked about the strength of the veil, and he's like, if they're hiding outside the veil, so, like, by putting themselves at that more risk, it actually makes the veil stronger. Mm-hmm. That, like, give and take, not, it's not necessarily like that law of equivalent exchange from Full Metal, but it's like that idea almost, like, you're putting yourself more at risk by describing your cursed, so, like, it makes it stronger. I just, the concept of that is very fun.
Definitely.
And it makes for a lot of good shit here. So yeah, it's, her storyline just ends, and this episode technically ends. Great quote of when she breaks out of the coffin after the rock smashes and everything, and she's still there. Just, how many years has it been since my life, or since something threatened my life? And it's like, all right, she's getting serious now, because clearly she has not been serious almost any time we've seen her.
The massive W's for our grade one special sorcerers were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
The smallpox deity thing reminds me of Chainsaw Man a little bit. And I'm not going to elaborate. I don't think you guys have seen it. So
that thing looked deadly. He whipped it out, and I could even tell that one felt like a little different than most of the ones that he summons.
Yeah, I'm excited for the continuation of that fight.
And I know we didn't expect to talk so much about this specific interaction, but he also brought up the movie Zero, mm-hmm. when he was like, I used most of my arsenal like a year ago, whatever he said. Like, that
said
was kind of
Ghetto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, and I thought that was pretty nice tie back.
It's just crazy to think that it's honestly only been a year, because to me, as someone who watches these seasons come out multiple years after, you know, season one came out however many years ago it was, and the movie, and then this, it's crazy.
Yeah, Yuji's been a student for like months.
I know. It's just crazy. Yeah, things are moving quick. Yeah. Like, it's only been a year since Geto's death. That's crazy.
And we're moving a little quick, because I mean, the last thing we could talk about here is going to be, we'll call it the Nanami storyline. Technically, there's like a small scene with Maki, Nobara, and the head of the Zenin clan, where Maki's like, all right, I'll handle, like, the veil breaks, and Maki's like, I'll handle all these transfigured humans on this with that sick spear that she has that's kicking ass. And so Nobara and Nita, so they kind of just are on their way to help everyone else. I forget the exact direction. They run into Blondie with the hand sword, who we know ran it through with Ichiji, who Nanami actually finds a little earlier. So that's kind of, Nanami finds Ichiji, and then Blondie runs into Nobara and Nita. And I think we talk about everything before Nanami shows up, and then the separate conversation can be everything after Nanami shows up, only because I think Nobara deserves a little bit of a solo conversation.
My first comment will be, of course, on Nanami, though, at the beginning of this episode, though, how he's just talking about how, you know, he's not one to consider emotions or feelings when going into a fight. He's usually very strategic about things. He's willing. He's that, we've learned to find out that he's that guy who will, you know, sacrifice someone in order for the betterment of the group, potentially. You know, if he has to make a decision, it's all going to be calculated and logical to him. And that's kind of, it was kind of cool seeing that, because you knew as he's giving that speech and he's walking up to the body of Ichiji that things are not going to go that way. He's definitely going to take his emotions into account. But agreed for Nobara here. I just can't get her name down.
Whatever way you want to take it, just take it.
I've always thought her power is just really cool too. It's all the powers in JJK are just so unique. Hers with the hammer and nail. I always think it's funny when she's swinging it around as a weapon. Just
I love when she just uses the hammer. It's just, it's just funny.
It looks funny, but obviously there's a purpose for it all. But her the nails and everything are so badass, I think, from her.
She's a hustler, dude. She's got heart.
Yeah. Yeah. She's definitely got a lot of heart, and I totally respect her. Absolutely.
I said it earlier. She's just like a really cool, capable character. This guy with the sword. First of all, I think his sword is sweet.
Oh, that was gonna be my third comment, was the design of the sword.
The hand holding, like this, you know, it's like I just think it's so nice.
It's unique. JJK I like is how, nothing but unique.
I like how she like takes charge to Nobra pretty well, where she kind of assesses the situation, tells Nita what to do. Obviously it doesn't work out that way because she doesn't know that this sword has a fucking mind of its own at the time, and obviously that comes back to haunt her when she gets absolutely rocked.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, any place, make snack time playtime with Funnables Fruit Snacks. Have fun. Eat it, too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
By the sword coming through the smoke, which was pretty crazy.
I was getting Mortal Kombat vibes when literally. It's like flashing into the skulls and everything.
She got rocked. The episodes were pretty close to the chapters, but this was a little addition, like the head knocking and stuff. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, a nice extra detail.
It puts more emphasis on the direness of the situation, for sure, because you just don't know how she's going to get out of it, especially with the other girl just being stabbed multiple times in the legs, which was painfully brutal. And this guy was definitely pissing me off a lot.
Yeah,
but it's not too long after we see the walk up of Nanami.
Dude, they beefed him up or something.
He looks great.
He looks so cool. I loved him reading, He was one of my favorite reading.
I mean, like, he definitely jumped a lot of ranks for me with this scene alone. Like, this will be my gym motivation for the next month easily.
He's savage.
It was so fucking badass, man.
He didn't even pull out his sword thing, whatever, the paddle, whatever it is.
Just wrapped it around his hand.
Oh my god,
he wanted to feel it. He wanted to physically feel it for sure. Dude, what's the number and location of your allies? It's just
I know that was such a killer. Like, it's like cut to the chase. Fuck around.
He looks,
when he kicks
so
him and he's
clean.
like it didn't touch him with the sword, and he's like kicking a brick wall. It's like, oh my god, he's ready to go.
Oh, that was so great.
That was badass.
Like, I didn't slash him either. What the fuck's going on?
I like the little detail that guy said. I was ordered to kill everybody in a black suit. Does this guy count too? So, like, we know that these people have, this is like obviously it's a coordinated effort. I don't know. It's just nice. I was wondering, like, the guy that Megumi and Yuji fought, he didn't seem to hint at any larger plan. So I like that this guy did. And Nanami is the first in this instance where we've seen express any sort of like emotion. And I know earlier I mentioned that they seem to not really give a shit. The Zenin guy was like, give me some fucking sake. And then meanwhile, Nanami's like ready to, obviously his comrades have fallen and he's ready to fuck shit up.
Yeah. Dude, the first punch is just so satisfying.
I was legitimately laughing because, one, it was just funny, but two, I'm just so hyped. So I'm just cracking up because I'm just enjoying every second of this. But he gets fucking yeeted throughout the mall. Just pure shot to the face. Love the quick flash of the ruler or whatever it is, like the meters.
Yeah, that measurement. That like
I think that's so. Yeah, I think that's really badass too.
Yeah, he thinks he's dead too. He's like, I died? Question mark.
I thought he was too.
Yeah, he says I would have died without my technique.
Mm-hmm. That's what I found.
Yeah, so what is his technique?
He even mentions that like he doesn't fully know what it is. So I know what it is, but like it's just like interesting.
I'm just curious if he's gonna. Maybe it's kind of like a dual personality thing. Maybe there's another side of him that gets unleashed, kind of like a Cavendish thing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But I don't know. Nanami definitely put this guy to work. And I don't know.
Dude, he pulls his hair. I saw so many clips.
What was it?
You were too slow. When he like picks him up by his hair. And I saw so many people reacting to that, especially like
like getting turned. Yeah, turned.
They were like, they did it for us. They did it for us.
Exactly. They made it all. You said like, they beefed him up. Dude, all his like arm veins are like popping out. He's filling the hell out of
the comments was like, one of the comments was like, oh, all the girls are going to wish they were getting their hair pulled by Nanami.
Yeah. Yep. Dude, like literally, I wrote down too, like the animation, the drawing of it, like they literally went all out. Like they went all out on this.
Well, that scene with, that was fan service, huh?
That's what we're talking about, though, is when we get those like flashes of like really poor animation, it's because they're trying to do it for moments like this. I think even earlier in this specific episode 12, when Nobara and the other girl are running around the corner of like the mall, it's globs basically.
I'm okay paint on.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
I didn't see that. I was actually going to comment that I thought the animation overall was a lot better than that ghosting shit when he fought the fucking cricket.
Or it's because a lot of the moments also, in this episode were important.
It impacts like the episode itself, and I think it impacts like the season at whole is when they focus on certain scenes. I mean, dude, he hits him with the fucking Whitebeard where he just like throws him up and like slowly comes down and he just bounces him through the window across the street, and I was just like freaking out. Also, Nobara has a clutch play where she like pins the hand to the ceiling
with
the nail, which was awesome. And he's like, read the room.
Not going to let you do that. Read the room.
Yeah, that was actually sick. We just, I mean, I could talk about that in a Nanami fight forever, but we can handle that off the pod. So the last things we kind of learn here is that Ichiji is actually alive. Mm-hmm. And then Nanami is going to go join Maki and the head of the Zenin clan underneath to kind of go fight. And Nobara like wants to come, and he immediately is like, no, like Nanami himself is at the minimum level required for the fights ahead. Like, you only get in my way. I just love that line. Like, I'm at the minimum level required.
Yeah, that was really fucking badass. And it, again, just shows the gap. I mean, I know they're all getting recommended to be promoted, but it's just, there's still such a huge gap between all of them being an experienced grade one. Shit, what was I gonna say here? My other comment was gonna be for this Zenin guy who was just chilling while Maki was doing all the heavy lifting earlier. Again, I expect him to interact with probably Toji at some point too and be like, oh, this guy's back. I since this guy's old, I would expect him to know at least.
Well, he's his elder.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, he's gonna be like, I cast you out years ago, and you're dead. What the fuck is
he'll recognize him for sure. Yeah.
So excited. All the Zenning shit, I want to come together. Absolutely.
Yuji's fight is gonna pop the fuck off.
I mean, dude, we have Yuji versus Chozo, we have Nanami heading into something, we have Megumi potentially,
dude, how can they top this Toji season? I don't know, after this arc, like it's this
so
arc
excited.
This arc was fucking top notch. I read back on our text, Kyle, talking about this shit.
Oh, really?
And I guess I get like fired up all over again.
Back
in like 2020. So
the rest of the season should be nothing but absolute bangers. We're going to be covering it, like I said, at the top of this. We're going to be taking two at a time. So we'll be back after episode 14. So we'll cover 13 and 14. That'll be in 2 weeks. And hopefully we'll be able to just kind of stick to that 2x2 schedule, depending on if it falls through like, you know, like a holiday, like Thanksgiving. I don't know if we're going to get into Christmas because I'm not going to do the mental math in the moment. But either way, 2x2 is the goal for these. And yeah, just they're so fun to watch. When we actually get to watch them and talk about them is always a blast. So Dave, I can't wait for you to keep finding out what is going on in the Shibuya arc. And that's going to do it for our episode covering episodes 11 and 12, Seance and Dull Knife. And once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.